And now God's people said, amen. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you. Look at these beautiful white roses. Ladies, eat your heart out. Eat your heart out up here. Wow. Tell you, Hattie, that is nice. That is nice. All these roses. My goodness. There are going to be some guys going to have some thorns in the flesh today. I'll tell you right now, seeing all those things. Let's start off with something about fathers.
Well, I'm sure there's not a father anywhere that doesn't look back and think of how they could have been a better father. I know I think of it every time this day rolls around. And this is what Cindy Hess Casper wrote about her father in the Little Daily Bread magazine. A perfect father, she calls it. My father once admitted to me, when you were growing up, I was gone a lot. I don't remember that. Besides working his full-time job, he was gone some evenings to direct choir practice at church, and he occasionally traveled for a week or two with a men's quartet. But for all the significant moments, many small, of my life, he was there. For instance, when I was 8, I had a tiny part in an afternoon play at school. All the mothers came, but only one father, mine. In many little ways, he has always let my sisters and me know that we are important to him and that he loves us. And seeing him tenderly caring for my mom in the last few years of her life taught me exactly what unselfish love looks like. Dad isn't perfect, but he's always been a dad who gives me a good glimpse of my Heavenly Father. And ideally, that's what a Christian dad should do. At times, earthly fathers disappoint or hurt their children. But our Father in heaven is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. When a dad who loves the Lord corrects, comforts, instructs, and provides for the needs of his children, he models for them our perfect Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness that I can always count on. Please help me to live today in a way that leaves behind a legacy of faithfulness and love. A life lived for Christ is the best inheritance we can leave our children. Thank you. Amen.
We're so happy to all the fathers that are here today. And I have a little poem to read to you folks. What makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of eagle's flight. The joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. And we have some flowers here for you dads. And we also want every man to stand. If it's okay to hand them out now, or do you want them later, Pastor? We want to appreciate the pastor. He's our leader here. He's a father to us. We appreciate Terry. We appreciate all the dads. And even though you may not have a biological child, you've been a mentor to someone. You have your, someone said this morning, I have my cats. So we want, you have your dogs. You are a mentor and we appreciate all of you. So God bless you. If you will come, Anna Marie, and I'm going to ask Jennifer, do you mind coming and helping hand out these, please? We appreciate you all. Thank you, Pastor, for leading us.
Don't forget, coming up this Wednesday, Barbara O'Kane, she'll walk in early. She'll be looking for Mike and Judy Duffy. They might not be here, but she'll look for them anyway. And she'll be teaching, I believe it's the 13th chapter in A Purpose-Driven Life. You're going to love this chapter. We're going to talk about true worship in spirit and in truth. The truth comes from God's Word, comes from His Scripture. And the Spirit comes from the condition of your heart when you come in to worship Him. She's going to do all that and talk about it and just share with you. So we look forward to that coming this Wednesday night. In the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to start this sermon off just a little bit different this morning. In the book of 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, so many times in God's Word, they share about illustrations, whether it's planting, whether it's working, whether it's servants, whether it's masters. And then this one is a little illustration. He talks about sports. Talks about running a race. In the 24th verse, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? This is 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Add a special blessing over the reading of your word today and just open our minds and hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read you a text. This morning at 9:57, this text was sent to me. On the baseball field. And thankful that God has sent a breeze for the players and parents. Happy Father's Day to our church family, missing everyone. Missing everyone. Nephew Hunter, he's out there on the baseball diamond. I don't know how he's doing, but trust me, later on when I see him, I will find out. He will share. He will have no problems. Hunter always reminds me of a little cartoon I saw one time where the father is sitting in the lounge chair reading the sports section, and the young man's there with his baseball glove. Say, okay, Pop. Either play with me or trade me. And if any of you have been around Mount Calvary enough to know when he walks with a ball glove, it just thrills my heart. Father's Day, Father's Day, Father's Day, it says in a classic. It was the best of all times. It was the worst of all times. For me, it's one of the greatest days. Sometimes it can be sad. I know in losing my father and just what a hole has been left in my life, because I am a junior and my father and I are very close and always just thrilled to spend time with him. I love the poems that were sent, the readings that were made this morning. I love all those wonderful things about godly fathers. And trust me, my father was not much of a church guy, was he, Rick? Nope. I heard an amen from Rick just saying, no. He could pretty much, if you ask him, he'd give you every reason in the world why you shouldn't go to church. And I thanks be unto God that he finally came to this church and enjoyed it and looked forward to coming. I know that many times this is a wonderful day, one just filled with wonderful memories and thoughts, but also know that today is also one that's sometimes filled with sadness. Back in 1909, Mrs. James Bruce Dodd, she thought of her father when she was listening to a Mother's Day sermon. She was in Spokane, Washington. She talked to the pastor. She said, you know, we should do something for fathers. Caught on. The mayor of that city set forth that the third Sunday in June they would celebrate Father's Day. Finally, the governor of Washington State made it a statewide proclamation. And in 1972, President Nixon signed a congressional resolution that we celebrate Father's Day today. Father's Day always comes with a lot of jokes. We don't quite get treated the way that mothers do, and that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's just the way it should be. Brian Smits of the Orlando, Florida Sentinel, he he sent a Father's Day card. And it stated this. He says, being a father can be expensive, time consuming, frustrating, confusing, and emotionally draining. Actually, it's a lot like golf. And his father thought it was the greatest card that he'd ever received. It's a great author, Dorothy Law Nolte, wrote, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns violence. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. But if a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to love the world. I dare say there's not an individual under the sound of my voice, if I went around, you would not have something to share. And I'm glad that Joe and Hattie shared things from their heart today. But today I want to talk about fathers, and I want to talk about baseball. Because I can do this, Hunter's not here. If I started in on baseball, he'd correct me on every statement I'd make. So I can try to do this. It just seemed like this week, for some reason, there's a lot of baseball. It says in the scripture that we read that although that a runner is simply trying to receive a trophy, the same principle applies to us in our Christian walk. Apostle Paul, as he wrote this, he tells us to run with focus, to train. He tells us to compete with passion. He tells us to fight with purpose. Then he also says to master the flesh so that we can compete the best way that we know how. My father was one of the most disciplined men that I ever knew. Can you imagine? And I know the temperature today is supposed to be, what, mid, upper 90s, the heat index, get him in a... Trust me, my father, he nailed shingles all the lifetime that I knew him. That job is the hottest in the summer and the coldest in the winter. He was of that generation where the ships were made of wood and the men were made of steel. And I know if I went around and I shared and got to hear the story that you have of a father or a grandfather or some father figure you had in your life, you could share with me the sacrifices that they made. Pop was pretty much straightforward. I could tell you stories, but some of them we'd have to step out of the church for me to share fully. That's okay. But I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was fortunate enough to have a man in my life who thought most of all to take care of his family. And I believe that is a tremendous quality. And I know if I went to the children here at the church today of their fathers, they would say the same thing. Early in the week when I heard that shooting, and that shooting took place down at Simpson Field in Alexandria, and Mike's not here today. He's still relishing his big fish catch yesterday. And Debbie should show you the pictures. If not, I've got them on here. We've sent responses. Where did he buy the fish at? You know, how much did he pay for it? You know. Mike and I both played on that baseball field where that shooting took place. That's the home field of T.C. Williams. Edison played T.C. Williams when we were in high school. We were in the third base dugout where some of those individuals dove to die to get away from those bullets. And then later this week, I had another wonderful baseball item. I got to play in a tournament. Somebody called up with a wonderful invitation, and I won't mention her middle name, but Gay Shane is what she usually goes by. And I got to play baseball with a fellow by the name of Chuck. He is the son-in-law of a fellow by the name of Frank Howard. Any of you baseball fans from way back in, remember the Washington Senators played here. They had an all-star outfielder, 6'8", named Frank Howard. I called him Hondo. And he came over, and as we sat there in a golf cart, we just had a wonderful conversation. And I shared with him what a joy I had had in my life of my father taking me to baseball games to watch him play. We would go early batting practice, because on batting practice, you could just see him zoom, hit those balls out as far as they'd go. And Mr. Howard was just so congenial, just so very warm. And it thrilled my heart to have that opportunity to share with one of my heroes, idols, when I was young. You know, I don't know what your individual situation is. Some folks have just marvelous memories. Some folks have those that are slightly more strained. But I'm here to tell you, you have a heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father that made the ultimate sacrifice by sending his son to die upon a cross. Wow. Wow. Some years ago, there was a first grade class who was asked to draw pictures. To draw pictures of God. And each little first grader, they drew something different, you know. One drew picture of an old man kind of coming out of the clouds. Think of Mike Duffy when I say that. I'll share that with him. One little fellows, he's pretty intense, and he drew a picture of someone looked like Superman. We get Sally some water. You good, Sally? Good, good. I need a haircut later. Don't leave. Don't leave. And then the little girl, I believe, had the best picture of all because she said, you know, she said, I have no idea what God looks like. So I just drew a picture of my daddy. When I stand up here on a Sunday morning, I look at notes and I try to figure out which direction we're going to go, and I try to make sense of it. Hopefully, if I was listening to it, it makes sense. But then I look out in the congregation, and sometimes in that back pew, there'll be little girls that are dancing back there. And when I get messed up in the sermon, you just blame it on them. Amen? Amen. I had the great opportunity to sit on a couch in Mike and Debbie's home, and Dave was there. Dave said, the greatest opportunity I have is to raise this family. Wow. Wow. And I believe that's why they have seen the favor of God on their lives. I believe if you simply apply within your heart to focus, to compete with that passion that he has set before us, to fight with a purpose, and then to ask God to help you with the discipline that you need, that we can, in some way, in some small part, and to the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's just little things, little things, little things. As we're studying last Wednesday night, we talked about the little things, and about how they mean so much. My father was a great fan of Harmon Killebrew, the home run hitter for the Minnesota Twins. Pop never forgave for the owner for taking the team from Washington out to Minnesota, but he always wanted to watch Minnesota when he came back into town because he knew some of the players there watched him. Harmon Killebrew, when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, he gave a speech and he talked about his father and his mother. They were out in the yard. The boys were playing baseball and the mother came out complaining about how they were tearing up the grass in the yard. He said, but my father turned and said, honey, we're raising boys, not grass. We're raising boys, not grass. This story that I heard, this when it came on the news this week about the shooting just touched my heart, as I know it touched each and every one of your hearts. You realize the challenges that we face here. You realize how this thing that we open about and talk about every Sunday, what we study about on Wednesday night, these are important things. Tim Kimmel is a well-known Christian author. But when he does his writing, he's got a roll-top desk that he sits at. And he has a very unique set of pictures. And I'm going to kind of leave you with this. Far to the left side, he has a picture of Jameson Memorial Hospital. That's the place he was born. And all the way to the other side, he has a picture of Graceland Cemetery. Most likely, that's the place that he's going to be buried. And in the middle are wonderful pictures of his wife and his two children. And he says, every day I look at this because it tells me that life is so short. What I focus on in the middle between the place I was born and the place I will die matters the most. Folks, we want to thank all the men. We want to thank all the fathers. And if this is a struggling day for you, we just ask that God, through his warmth and wisdom, through his tenderness and through his compassion, will bring warmth to hearts that may be hurting. Go out and enjoy. Get outside. Just get them little sweat beads running down the side of your head. Just get as moist as you can be. Or stay under the air condition. And every now and then, do like that old, what is that thing called that you put a chicken on and it does that? Every now and then you just turn over to the other side and cool off. Yeah, you do that rotisserie thing, you know? They don't have them things down there in New Orleans. Whatever you do, wherever you go, keep the truth that we find in God's word in your heart. Amen? Stand to your feet if you're able. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house, and God, you've been so warm to us today. We thank for each one who has taken part in the service, for the songs that have been sung, for the poems that have been read, for those inspirational stories that have thrilled our hearts. We thank you for the fathers that you've placed in our lives. We ask that you'll just keep your hand of mercy and wisdom over each one. And for those fathers that have gone on to be with the Lord, we thank you for the wonderful memories that you allow us to have. Now, God, we just love you. Most of all, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father, sending your Son to die upon a cross. Our simple acceptance of him gives us this eternal life. We thank you for that. Now, Heavenly Father, give us safe traveling mercies. If you be your will, bring us back to sing praises unto your name again. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Have I forgotten anything? Amen.